push from the trucking industry to allow drivers to stay behind the wheel longer with less rest is getting a positive response from the Trump administration. Currently, drivers can drive for 11 hours within a 14-hour window and have to be off for 10 consecutive hours before the next 14-hour stretch begins. The proposal would allow them to stop the clock for up to a total of 3 hours during that 14-hour window if, for example, they're stuck in traffic. But critics say that the change could mean that truckers are awake and behind the wheel for as much as 17 hours at a time. We wanted to learn what happens in our brains when we don't get enough sleep and how that could affect how safely we drive. Brady Riedner is assistant director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sleep and Consciousness and a senior scientist in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Brady, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So when we talk about sleep deprivation, what exactly does that mean?
Well, so, you know, it's funny you say, when we do, a lot of stuff has been done on sleep deprivation, and usually that's, you know, keeping people up for extended periods of time past their normal, you know, normally when they would want to go to bed. And a lot of times, like in the past, people have just, you know, done anything they can to keep people up. And we've done, you know, some of those experiments, but we've also done things where we're having them do particular things like, say, a driving simulator. And it's just keeping them up for as long as, you know, as long as they can until they basically crash out. And you have them, you know, in our particular study, we had them do one particular repetitive task. They gave them breaks, but usually it was like 2 hours of each time, you know, until they crashed, doing this very repetitive driving simulation task.
And I want to talk more about that in just a bit. But first, when we're deeply asleep, what's going on in our brains?
Yeah, well, there's two different things that are going on usually when you're sleeping. I don't know if you've heard of sleep stages, but there's non-REM sleep and there's REM sleep. REM sleep is that sleep that you have where you're usually having very, you know, active conscious activity. You're dreaming of something. If I wake you up, you're going to tell me, you know, all sorts of crazy stories. Non-REM sleep is the one that I've, you know, done most of my research in, and this is a really interesting stage where you're. We used to think that you basically were just totally out of it and totally offline. And you are offline, but your brain is doing something which is very unique. It's basically oscillating. Your cortical neurons are oscillating between firing all on and then silent. So they go on, off, and they and this happens about once every second. And that produces on the EEG, which is the type of stuff that I measure, it produces these big slow waves. And this is how you're basically, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty disconnected from the environment and actually from your conscious activity. So if I wake you up, most times you're going to say, I don't even know where I was or have no memory of what was going on. And that was you being deeply asleep.
I've also heard the term micro sleep. Micro means small. What's that?
Yeah, so, you know, micro sleeps is essentially that. You'll see people, you know, with their eyes start to close and they'll have very brief, you know, maybe a couple of second long, you know, sleeping activity. And usually that's, you know, your brain, your entire brain kind of going into these short periods of this, you know, this slower activity, which is, you know, basically putting you offline. And if you're, you know, closing your eyes, for instance, you're not responsive to stimuli, you're not reacting the way that you should when you're awake. And that's really what micro sleeps are. Now, we, you know, kind of have took that, and there's, you know, some very interesting stuff now that we think that, you know, micro sleeps are your entire, I would say your entire brain, but I really mean cortical neurons, basically your entire cortex going offline. But when we did the studies, we actually found that sleep is not this unitary phenomenon where your whole brain is doing it all at once, but there actually might be little pieces of your brain that are going offline. And so instead of a micro sleep, which is just a short, you know, period of sleep, you might have even parts of your brain that are going offline, which we call local sleep.
So it sounds like part of our brain can be asleep, but it looks like we're awake.
Absolutely. So in this, the sleep deprivation experiments that I was talking about, basically we brought people into the lab to do this driving simulation task, and that task involves a very particular part of the brain. So what you're basically doing is tiring out one piece of the brain, right? And what we saw over time is that even though, you know, the subjects were still doing the task, their eyes are still awake, you know, if you looked at their EEG, you would kind of usually think, ah, they're still awake. But if you look at that little piece of cortex, basically it's showing its own signs of going offline. So it's showing these, you know, slowing of activity where the rest of the brain, you know, looks relatively normal. And so, you know, functionally, behaviorally, you're still, you know, you're still awake, but the part of the brain that we tired out is basically going offline or going to sleep.
Is there a difference between maybe one night of little or no sleep versus many days in a row or a regular extended pattern of not getting enough sleep?
Yeah, and this is kind of the really interesting and kind of the sad thing about the state of affairs. What we know about sleep deprivation and all of its effects, most of it is from total sleep deprivation, the type of experiment where I was talking about, where we basically, you know, take people into the lab and don't let them sleep for long periods of time. But what's, you know, probably more interesting and more relevant for people is, you know, chronic sleep deprivation where, you know, you'd like to get your typical 6 to 8 hours of sleep that you need, but you're really cramming, you know, maybe five, you're getting, if you need eight, you're getting six because you have to do, you know, the things of life. So it's that chronic sleep restriction that probably affects most of us, but is really hard to study in the laboratory because, you know, it's expensive. You can't bring people in for, you know, a week at a time and you know, allow them to sleep, but only 1 hour shorter than they normally would. So those are the types of things that we're starting to get more information about that. But really, you know, we don't know a ton about, you know, what the actual effects of chronic sleep restriction are.
Brady Riedner is assistant director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sleep and Consciousness and a senior scientist in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about what happens in our brains when we're sleep deprived in light of a push from the trucking industry to allow drivers to stay behind the wheel longer with less rest. And you've talked about this driving simulation experiment. How big a difference did you see in, say, someone coming in who, you know, was at the start of a period of having been sleep deprived versus hours later?
Yeah, so you really start to see performance effects. And again, this is, you know, in a limited population. So for us, it was, you know, 19 to 26-year-olds. So, you know, mostly I think there were male and female were pretty mixed. But at about 15 hours awake, you start to see performance lapses. Now, these are people that, you know, presumably, you know, slept well the night before. They're good sleepers. So we don't really know a lot. We asked them to, you know, wear actigraphy. So we know a little bit about their sleep-wake history beforehand. But these are not people that are generally chronically sleep-restricted. They're good sleepers. So at about, you know, 15 hours awake, you start to see some lapses. But other studies have shown, you know, that these things can happen earlier.
And what does it take to turn around those effects? Do we need a full night's sleep, several full night's sleeps, or a short nap, or a longer rest that's somewhere in between?
Yeah, and that's another thing that is really, you know, partially unknown at this point. I mean, the best thing you can do is get a full night's rest. Certainly, you know, people are studying the effects of naps, and naps can help a lot. But usually getting a full night's rest, and it can be different for every person, right? That's one of the other things that's really tricky. Sleep deprivation affects people, you know, quite differently sometimes. So you might have somebody who, you know, if you take an hour of their sleep, they're wiped out and they can, you know, barely stay awake, where there are a lot of us that, you know, kind of think that we're pretty good at dodging the effects of sleep deprivation, right? Which is one of the things that I think was really interesting about, you know, the experiment we did, where it seems like even though people are awake and I might think, hey, I'm doing fine, I'm awake, I'm not, you know, I'm not dozing off, but parts of my brain might still be doing that. So these are the types of things that we really don't know, you know, long term, you know, what are those effects, and can we counteract those local sleeps by, you know, getting the quality rest that we need.
How would you compare someone who's drowsy driving, you know, being not quite alert, maybe sleep deprived, you know, slower reflexes, to maybe having had a few drinks or having taken some recreational drugs?
Yeah, so I mean, this is one of the things. When I was a graduate student, I saw a talk by Chuck Sizer, who is really one of the pioneering experts in this field, and does a lot of stuff for the hours that medical students had to work. And he was one of the ones that got those regulations changed in terms of how long they could be asked to work. And you know, their results are very clear that they might have, based on how they performed in tasks, right, they may have well been just drunk, right? It's the same, which is really scary.
And Brady, before we let you go, I know you're not a policy expert, but given what you know about sleep deprivation and brain science, should we be concerned if truck drivers are going to be able to drive more hours without mandatory rest breaks?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I don't want to get too deep into policy, but you know, based on what we know about what's going on in the brain, that you know, you might think, and I'm sure a lot of these truckers do think, hey, I'm fine, right? But we know that, you know, any amount of sleep deprivation, any amount of chronic sleep restriction, all of these things can affect how the brain, you know, reacts to stimuli. And certainly driving is one of those things that you need to be able to react as quickly as possible to stimuli. And over the course of the day, you know, I was saying that, you know, these lapses happen after 15 hours awake, but they start to accumulate, you know, much earlier than that. And so, yeah, it's a really important thing that these drivers get proper rest.
Well, Brady, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Brady Riedner is Assistant Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sleep and Consciousness and a senior scientist in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We talked with him about what happens in our brains when we're sleep deprived and how it can affect our driving.